sandbanks overlooking Poole Harbour in Dorset is one of the most expensive places to live in the world. Today it's home to various celebrities, but there was one regular visitor in the 1960s who was perhaps more famous than anyone, John Lennon of the Beatles. There are places I remember. In 1965, John bought a bungalow in Sandbanks for his aunt, Mimi Smith, who had brought him up from the time he was 5 years old. The house at 126 Panorama Road was named Harbour's Edge and was bought as a sanctuary for Mimi. Nick Churchill, author of The Beatles and Bournemouth, explains why.
She lived in Liverpool, obviously, and the house in which she lived was quite well known to Beatles fans. Just up the road from Penny Lane. Beatles fans, being what they were virtually made a prisoner of Mimi. And when John found her on the stairs one day crying that she couldn't go out the door, he said he'd buy her a new house. By that time, John was already living in Surrey, and obviously the Beatles were extremely successful. So Mimi said she wanted to live by the sea, and they looked at coastal towns. She decided on sort of Bournemouth and Poole. They picked four houses and went for a day trip to Bournemouth in the middle of 1965. She turned down the first three houses they saw she didn't like, and she liked the fourth house, which was the House of Sandbanks. So John bought it for her, and I think it was September 65, and paid £25,000 for it. So, today would be worth many millions, I'm sure. A few years ago, land prices in Sandbanks were in the top four most expensive places to live in the world.
Mimi found the peace and quiet she was looking for in Sandbanks and was treated very well by the local residents.
She moved to Sandbanks to be private because she didn't want to be bothered by Beatles fans, basically. And it's quite interesting that the word had got around locally that a Beatle relative was going to buy a house in Sandbanks, and the people that were selling the house complained to the paper that they just wanted the whole fuss to die down and be left alone in peace, which was actually the reason for Mimi going there in the first place. I think once she got there, people were very accepting of her. The local, she would nip up to the shops, the local news agent, to buy her milk and papers and the rest of it, and was just like another local resident. She was who she was. I think Sandbanks, although it wasn't what it is now, and people's relationships with celebrity were probably a lot different in those days anyway, I think Sandbanks had its share of eccentrics. The people that owned Tate and Lyle Sugar had a house there. There was a couple of other quite industrialists had bought holiday homes there. So it had that connection, but it wasn't about footballers and models, and it wasn't nothing. It was about as far from swinging London as you could get. And from Mimi's point of view, it was also a long way from where she lived in Liverpool. So she felt very happy and left alone. And John, on his visits, would be left alone as well. I think on one occasion there was a TV reporter, and Mimi was very upset because she thought John might be upset, and he said, "Well, don't worry about it. They probably got a fiver for tipping them off that I was here."
Before he moved to New York in the early 1970s, John visited Sandbanks often, and it proved to be a sanctuary for him as well. It was somewhere he was able to escape from the pressures of stardom and being a member of the most famous band in the world, something he could no longer do even in his hometown of Liverpool.
He'd turn up with his wife, Cynthia, and their son, Julian, and just spend the day on the beach or just sort of being himself. So it's a place where he could be and not be John Lennon, world famous Beatle. He could just be a dad. I think that's what it was. Probably more likely a nephew, and sort of relax. He called Sandbanks, or he called Mimi's home, "The most beautiful place I know." So it's obviously somewhere he felt quite connected to.
Sandbanks also features in the story of how John married Yoko Ono, which was the inspiration for the Beatles song, "The Ballad of John and Yoko."
The story goes that they were going to visit Mimi so that John could introduce Yoko and Mimi, and they decided to get married. When they got to Sandbanks, John sent his chauffeur to Southampton to find out if they could get married at sea.
Standing in the dock at Southampton, trying to get to Holland or France.
they were going to book on to a cruise and go to Gibraltar. And they found out that they couldn't, so they flew, instead they think they flew to Paris and then went on to Gibraltar, where eventually they were married. So there is this, the lyrics of the song kind of start off, I think they were on their way to Sandbanks, and then the song sort of carries on a little bit whilst they were at Sandbanks. So what transpired between John Yoko and Mimi during that time is anyone's guess. But
John died in December 1980. Which was a devastating loss for Mimi. She continued to live in Sandbanks for the rest of her life, but she always missed her nephew.
I spoke to people that knew her whilst John was still alive, and she'd always have a joke or a sort of an aside or a quip, but that seemed to go from her, I think, after. So there was a sadness about her. She loved her cats, didn't really have that much interest in people, and lived a very, very quiet, humble existence there, I think. Lots of people speak about John and Mimi's relationship and talk about him as the son that she never had there. I mean, she was sort of very loving and cared a great deal about him, but whether or not there was some kind of surrogate son thing at work, I don't know. Mimi's probably quite misrepresented by history in lots of ways. People love to analyse and speculate, but I think what they had was quite a sad old lady that missed the person that she really cared about.
After Mimi's death in 1991 at the age of 85, Harbour's Edge was sold by John's widow, Yoko Ono. It was eventually demolished in 1994.
The house basically was left for a couple of years. I remember parties there, like rave parties there in the early 90s. It was squatted in for a little while. Eventually it was bought by a property developer who knocked it down and built two houses there. So there's two houses there. There's still the plot is still 126 Panorama Road, but it's not the house. It might even be called Harbour's Edge still, but it's not the house that Mimi lived in. So, I mean, really, if you looked at it now, very few of the houses that were there when Mimi was there are still at Sandbanks.
So this is Panorama Road in Sandbanks, where Mimi used to live. And we're going to find what used to be the house where she lived. So, here we are outside what used to be Harbour's Edge. There's a lot of building work going on up the road. Obviously, the old house had very distinctive steps outside, so you can't see any of that anymore. But yeah, amazing houses, very strange architecture, but amazing houses.
And that's 128.
That's 128.
So there you go.
Yeah.
It's official.
This was Harbour's Edge.
It's odd. I think nowadays we're very good at preserving the past, and people are very keen to preserve the past. But I think going back 20, 25 years nearly now, that when Mimi died, there was the connection with the Beatles that disappeared locally, and perhaps people didn't sort of value it in the same kind of way. It was just a bungalow on Sandbanks, which, although Sandbanks was a very well-heeled area, it still wasn't, even in the early 90s, it still wasn't what it has become since. So very, very clearly, though, property developers were working out that what could happen at Sandbanks, and that's why a property developer bought that plot. And to him, a 1950s bungalow, or semi-bungalow, I think it was, probably wasn't of that much interest, but what you could put on that plot and what it might ultimately realise was of interest. And that's the sort of, that middle 90s period was the start of the boom time for Sandbanks, I suppose, which we're still seeing now.
Harbour's Edge may be gone, and with it the connection between John Lennon and Sandbanks. but it's easy to see why he felt so at peace there. And during those short visits to his aunt's house, he was simply John Lennon from Liverpool, rather than John Lennon the Beatle.